Good morning. Welcome to our Navi Shior Shmuel Aleph. We're now learning the 20th chapter, Perek Chaf. This will be the second of 3 weeks. We'll be discussing learning this chapter. We are actually on page 132. We're up to verse 19, Pasuk Yud Tet. And the beginning of this chapter discussed David and his beloved friend Yonasan and an interesting plan, which we're going to see unfold toward the end of today's session, that David knew that Shaul was out to kill him. Yonasan wasn't so sure. And therefore he said, you know what? When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, where everyone goes to the king and has a nice meal, don't show up, and I'll cover for you. I'll say you have an event to attend to, you have a family event, and we'll see what happens. If my father gets angry, then it'll be proof that he really wants to kill you. If he is mochel, he forgives you, doesn't care, say, okay, no problem, he went home, big deal, he can visit his family for once, then I'll realize that he really had no intention of killing you. We left off, as we again are on verse 19, or Pasuk Yud Tet, on page 132, that we see that starting from the previous verse, Pasuk Yud Ches, that it says on the side that this is actually a Haftorah for Erev Rosh Chodesh. In the event that Rosh Chodesh would fall on a Sunday, we read this section, which is called Machar Chodesh, which is named after the beginning of the verse Vayomer Lo Yonasan Machar Chodesh, because this is where all the events would unfold. That on Rosh Chodesh, the next day, which will be Rosh Chodesh, when you're supposed to be there and you'll be absent, my father will ask for you, and you will be either attacked by my father, or he won't care. He'll forgive you. And as we mentioned last time, a couple weeks ago, that we were learning that David is very much connected to Rosh Chodesh. When it comes to the Kiddush Levana, one of the prayers that we say, the famous prayer that we recite, is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, which is no coincidence connected to the moon, because just like the moon, one day you look up in the sky and it's a full moon. It's the moon is exposed in all of its glory. Sometimes the moon is hidden. You don't see anything. It's completely concealed. So too when it comes to David. At this point, just like Rosh Chodesh, where the moon is concealed, David is also being asked to hide and conceal himself. To hide himself by the field. And then, eventually we'll see, moments later, David, just like the full moon, will eventually reveal himself as the great, powerful king, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. So now let's continue in Pasuk Yud Tes. The Pasuk tells us, V'shilashta, and some of this is not underlined, so I apologize, because the sheets that I ran off were from a couple of weeks ago. So, bear with me. V'shilashta tered ma'od. And V'shilashta, as is translated over here by the by Rashi, Shilashta comes from the word shalosh. Shloshesh yamim. 3 days. Says Rashi, v'oz tered ma'od. Then you have to really go down. You have to really hide yourself 3 days later. Kolomer says Rashi, l'kishyagia hayom ha'shlishi. Once the third day comes, tered b'makom seser v'tich b'harbin. You have to go into hiding and make yourself completely, very much concealed. So v'shilashta, continuing in the verse, v'shilashta tered ma'od. On the third day, you should certainly hide yourself completely, very much. Uvasa al-makom, you should go to the place, asher nistarta sham b'yom hamasa, in which you were also hidden on the day of Bayom Hamasa, the day of actions, the day of the incident, as translated here. V'yashavta etzel ha'even ha'ozel. And you shall dwell or sit by this place called the Eben Ha'ozel, which is a type of stone. Says the Masuda Sion, this place, the Eben Ha'ozel, says the Masuda Sion, Ratzalomer Simen L'Holchei Orech. It was a huge rock, right, that people used to be familiar with, and they knew that this was like a landmark, that anyone was in a certain area, and think, oh yeah, there's this rock, it's called Eben Ha'ozel. So he told David, Yonasan did, that you should go to this particular place next to this landmark, because I will be speaking to my father, or I will do some type of sign, as we'll see what the sign is, with arrows shooting in a few moments.
What is the
and you'll know.
The day of the incident?
Oh. So, if we look at, I think there's a couple explanations over here. It's actually, if you look on page 133, it translates, Bayom Hamasa translates not the day of the incident, but rather is the day of work. Because the day prior, which is Rosh Chodesh, it says, is a time which a person is not supposed to work. It says the day before Rosh Chodesh was referred to as the day when work was permitted because it was their custom not to work on Rosh Chodesh. So you might be alluding to the idea, but Biyom Hamasa is time which is not Rosh Chodesh.
It says the day Saul expressed his wish to kill David.
Right. Well, that's actually a more direct explanation. In fact, that explanation is brought down in the Radak over here. Again, I apologize that it's not underlined, but it is in Pasuk Yud-Tet by the Radak, which begins with V'shilash Shatered Ma'od, which is bold. And if you jump down a few lines, where the first word is Be'emek, it says, B'mokom ha-seser, where is this hidden place? The place where a certain incident occurred. Was that day, there was an oath that was made. My father swore to me, and you heard it, David, that I will not kill this guy David. There David was hidden in the field. So according to Radak, Yom HaMasa means, remember that incident where my father already promised that you would not die? Go to that exact same place. So that makes sense, because that's like a special hiding spot that David and Yonasan were already familiar with. So that's how the Radak interprets Yom HaMasa. But it's also brought down, according to the other explanation, it means other than Rosh Chodesh, where a person doesn't work. It's brought down by the Avud Raham on page 133. According to the Perkei Rabbi Elazar, Rosh Chodesh was only a day which women would not work as their reward for not participating in the sin of the golden calf, which we just had in last week's Parsha, about the Egel Hazav. The women who were not involved in participating in the Egel Hazav, therefore they're given this special holiday of Rosh Chodesh. There's obviously, must be a connection between this particular aveira that the men committed and how Rosh Chodesh encounters it, and how women are comparable to Rosh Chodesh, but that's beyond the scope of this particular section. But nonetheless, that's another interpretation, as brought down by Avud Raham, of what it means, Biyom Hamasa. Okay, now, it's also presented, when it comes to this specific hiding spot, a different interpretation, exactly what occurred. And it says, it's brought down in the Mordechai L'Megillah, it's called, it says, the Malacha Kveda, when it comes to very difficult work, could go in Lichrosh L'Zroa, to plow or to sow in the field, Aser Achla Anosh. Even though the Avud Raham says that women did not do work, it means women would not do any work on Rosh Chodesh. Men did work, but there was certain malacha that even men refrained from on Rosh Chodesh, such as working in the fields. And therefore explains the Mordechai, explains that makes a tremendous sense, why was he telling David to hide in the fields? Why would you hide in the field? There's thousands of people working there. Exactly. That's why he told David, you can hide in the fields, and you don't have to be worried. People are not working in the fields because it's Rosh Chodesh time, and therefore this is a good opportunity for you to hide in that particular place. So that's why it was good.
If people are working, it's easier for him to be hidden than
Could be. That's also true. But David was a famous guy. You know, it's like, if you have a Hollywood star, in the supermarket. Oh, when he's in the supermarket, you'll spot him. Everyone will spot him. It'll take a second. Okay. Pasukah. So that's what he said. Get ready, hide in this particular place on the third day, and you'll know all the information you need to know. Pasukah. Va'ani and I, shloshes achitzin sida ora. I will send forth three arrows. Ora is translated by the Mesudas Sion as Ashlech, I'll shoot out. I'm going to shoot out three arrows. Why three? We'll get to that. Veshalach li alamatara. And it's going to seem as though I'm shooting toward a target, because otherwise people will know that I'm trying to send out a signal to you. Instead, I'm going to really be sending out the signal, but only you and I will know about it. So if we look over here for a moment at the Radak addresses the question of three, which is toward the bottom of the page already on 132, where it says Shlosh Sachitz, and the Radak tells us, skipping the first few words, there's the print, it says there's a comma after the word Bipasuk, that says Nira, it appears. Ki Yonasan Omar Ladavi, that Yonasan was saying, Ki Shlosh Sachitzim Yored, me shooting these three arrows will be Lasiman Lashlosh Hayomim Shehan Nister Basad. It'll compare itself to the 3 days that you were hiding in the field. Because otherwise, maybe it's Dick Cheney shooting for quail or something. Who knows? It could be anyone hunting out there. So the fact that you see that there will be specifically three. Why three arrows? It must be that's Yonasan. Because he's not going to go out and look and see who it is and expose himself to a potential enemy. So he said, I will specifically shoot out three arrows, which will correspond to the 3 days in which you were in hiding. And it's also brought down by the Malbim. The Malbim explains with regard to the three. What's the significance of three? Why did they have to shoot three arrows? Shoot one arrow. Why is that to shoot three? We're going to see it's really not even the arrows that he shoots, but it's going to be the choice of words that he gives over to his lad when he's collecting the arrows, that it will be his words that will determine whether David should run away or he's free to come back. It's not based on the amount of arrows that are shot. So what's the significance of the arrows? So we saw one explanation of the Radak. The Malbim presents a very unusual, beautiful interpretation. He says that there's something else which is three. He says, Efshar, it's possible to explain based on the Talmud. The Talmud says, Ein chetz elo lashon. When it comes to an arrow, sometimes when we talk about someone who shoots an arrow at someone, it doesn't have to be in a physical sense, but you can be shooting very harsh words toward another person. As it says in the verse, chetz shachat lashonam mir madavar, that the arrow which has the ability to attack and to slaughter, so too is the wayward and cruel tongue. The shloshes hachitzim, and the three arrows is just like, as it's stated in Israel, in the West, they used to say, Lushen tlisa katal tlisa. A three-pronged tongue has the ability to destroy three. The tongue, which is split into three, whatever, has the ability to harm three. How does it harm three people? It only harms the one person I'm speaking about. That's what you think. But it affects Horeg l'misapro l'mekabel l'amrinolav, the one who's speaking the Lashon Hara, the one who's listening to it, and of course the third person who they are speaking about. So that is the effect, the power of three. And what is Yonasan saying over here? So what is this shooting three arrows, which is the Lashon Hara of three? What does this have anything to do with this? He says, V'yavshol musker adayin b'psukim. Even though we haven't really gotten to this point yet in the text, shedoeg ha'adomi ba'al lashon hara. There's a person by doeg who is a ba'al lashon hara, who spoke gossip, who ha'gorim b'chol ha'sina v'radifa shel shaul. He was the one that had Shaul, the king's ear, and he was the one that was filling in all this hate into the king, making him jealous, making him angry, and hateful toward David. We're going to see that later on. And therefore, what Yonasan is saying to David is that the three arrows corresponds to the whole reason why you're in this matzah, the situation, is because of Lashon Hara, is because of people who are speaking poorly about you to my father, and therefore that's the reason why you're going to potentially be killed. Because such is the power of the of Lashon Hara, of evil gossip. And this is actually, it's brought down over here as well on page 133. In English it says this clearly as well, with a paragraph beginning with scripture often uses a sharp arrow as a metaphor for evil speech. Okay.
Were the people speaking evil about David, or I thought they were praising David? I thought they were speaking evil about
Saul. Some people spoke nicely about him in a way which demeaned the king. If you remember, he was saying that David can kill 10,000, and the king, this weakling, can only kill 1,000, you know, a big weakling. So it made Shaul very upset. So that alone is also Lashon Hara. You can be careful the way you speak, even in a praise, which in effect you know is going to trigger someone off. You can't speak positively about someone in the presence of someone that you know, I hate that guy. So by me saying something positive, that person is going to say, what are you talking about? That guy, you know, go on a whole monologue over there. So you have to be careful. Even the nice things you say. Yes.
I wasn't here for quite a few weeks, but I thought that why Shaul was so angry and wanted to kill David was because he knew he wasn't going to be the king anymore. That's not the case.
He realized that he was.
That David was going to be the king. Yes?
Someone probably he is going to be the next candidate, which obviously so got him angry.
So at this point, Shmuel hadn't told Shaul that he was not going to be continuing.
No.
King?
Well, he knew that he sinned. He knew that his position was limited. He didn't necessarily know it would be David. You know, he didn't know who it would be, but it looks like it's going to be this guy. So, but nonetheless, but you're right. Based on what we've seen, that's what the Malbim is saying. We haven't really seen so much the Lashon Hara piece, but it really is behind all these scenes. Is there was a lot of gossip going on, which caused a lot of this as well, which we haven't really seen in the psukim themselves, but it will reveal itself as we continue in the next chapters.
But there were other things that occurred because he wanted to kill him, tried to kill him. Other symbolic events that occurred that
right.
He realized.
Shmuel hadn't come to Shaul and said, "At this point, you're not going to be king. David's going to be king."
He never told him that David will be the king.
Okay.
Right, right. He knew that his time was limited. He didn't know necessarily when that would be and who would take over.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see that in later on in this parak that he was really hoping that his son would take over the position. You know, that would be okay. You know, okay, so I'm not going to be the king forever. My son will take the job. All right. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'hine eshlach es hanar. So I'm going to shoot a bunch of arrows. There's three of them to be exact. Now, when I shoot my arrows, like you do archery, when I was in summer camp, you shoot, and everyone's done shooting, the part wasn't so fun. You have to go and retrieve your arrows. So if you're good, which I wasn't, the good ones, you just pull them right out of the, you know, right out of the bullseye, right out of the target. For me, they're in the forest, they're down somewhere in the grass. It's not so easy to find. Now, if you're a powerful man, such as Yonasan, a prince, he's not going to be fetching his arrows, you know, for target practice. He has someone do it for him. So he says, "V'hini eshlach esanar." I'm going to send this child, and I'm going to say, "Leich matzah sachitz." I'm going to send him out to go and find my arrows. I'm going to ask him to do that. Im amor Omar, if I say to him, it's interesting, it says it twice, apparently I'm going to repeat this, if I say to this child, Hine hachitzim mimcha, behold, the arrows are behind you, which means come closer, come back to me to get the arrows. What am I really saying to you, David? I'm not really speaking to him, I'm speaking to you, and I'm giving the message, v'heinai kachenu, you yourself can go and take them, uvo, and come back, kishomucha, it'll be peace to you, then davar chai Hashem, there's nothing to be afraid of as Hashem lives. I swear to you, that if I say that you come back for the arrows, I'm speaking to the nar, the child, but I'm really telling you that you can come back, that you have nothing to be concerned of. And if we look at Rashi over here, which is the last Rashi on the page, on Pasuk of Aleph, Im Omar Lenar, he says, if I say to the child, come back, say atah bi'atzmacha, you come yourself, memakam mechmoech, come from your place where you're hiding. You can take them and come to me. You have nothing to be concerned about. There'll be peace to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chavetz, Hashem wants, should take Khan, you should be here below Sira, you should not be afraid. And listen how the Rashi ends. Diafilu Shemati mi Abara. And I even heard this from my bad father. Right? He calls him mi Abara. That's how Rashi calls Yonasan, is referring to his father Shaul. That he's obviously wrong, but nonetheless he still doesn't want to kill you. And therefore you have nothing to be afraid of, because Hashem gave me the signal that you're okay and my father's not going to harm you. However, continuing the next pasuk of Beis, V'im ko omar la'elem, however, if I say la'elem, elem is, Mesudas Tzion is translated as a nar, which is interesting. We'll explain why does he change the language. He goes from nar to elem. We'll get to that. Hine hachitzim mimcha v'holo. I say, keep on going, keep on going. Like I when I in football, if you're not a good player, they say, yeah, just keep going. They're not going to throw it to you. So he say, keep going for those arrows. Keep going. They're very far away. What message am I saying? Lech go. Because Hashem is telling you to go away. Hashem's sending you away. Okay, now, let's just finish this next pasuk. Let's see pasuk of Gimel as well. And this matter in which I spoke to you, the two of us spoke, we are very strong in our ways of friendship. Hine Hashem benu v'enchad olam. The way that we were, the way that we are, will be forever. Hashem will be between myself and you forever. We will always have an eternal relationship, a complete and eternal friendship. Okay, now, so we already saw, again, the question of why he changes from the word elem to, from nar to elem. Now, it's interesting, the word elem could also have a different connotation. Could also mean to hide. Also could mean that it should be hidden, right? In fact, it's brought down that when it comes to Hashem's name, it says, Zeh Zichri, this is Hashem's remembrance, Ad Olam. It mentions Olam, but it means hidden. That Hashem's name should be hidden, which means we don't say Hashem's name the way it's written. So too, he calls him Elam, because perhaps you even wanted to announce that word to say, David, continue to hide. Continue to hide. Because you are not going to be safe because my father is out to kill you. Now, one other interesting point is that we mentioned that in the beginning of this pasuk, it says, V'im ko amar, if I say. But the previous verse, it says, im amor amar, twice. Why is it in one time he says Amar Amar twice, and over here it's Be'im Ko Amar, that he only says it one time? So it's brought down that when it comes, it's brought down by in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, that when you have good news, you tell people good news. When you tell people bad news, you have to tell them. You have to inform people. You have to communicate. But the question is, how enthusiastic should we be about it? And how many times should we speak about it? When it comes to something which is good, you should repeat it, say it many times, because it's spesoros tovos, it's something good, something which people want to hear. When it's something which is not so good, say it, but don't keep repeating it. If you have something negative to say, you have to say it, only say it once. You don't have to repeat yourself. And it says the Siach Yitzchak, that's how we see this from these psukim. Because, Im Amar, Omar, if you're safe, and you can come back, and peace is with you, I'm going to say it once, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it because it's something good. However, if unfortunately it's tragedy, that my father hates you, my father wants to kill you, then it's only once. It's only Im Ko Amar. So when it comes to something negative, say it as little as possible. Something which is more positive, says the Siach Yitzchak, something which is good news, say it more than once. That's how he explains the double
ending. Is that the same for Elam and Na'ar?
He doesn't explain that. The only explanation I saw by Elam is because it also has the connotation of being hidden. It's the same word, same letters, different nekudot. So it means to hide. So maybe he changed the word as though he was calling him, hey, Elam, so that he can also hear, oh, that word also means to hide, so I better keep hiding. So to really get the message down, that's maybe another explanation. All right, even though he didn't actually say that as part of his dialogue, what he was going to say over to the Nar, to the Elam, but... The Masuda Sion translates the word Elam as a nar, just like we find previously Ben Mizeh L'Olam, that when I believe Shaul was asking who was this guy that killed Goliath, even though he should have known it, which that was the whole question we had over there, he called him an Elam, right? Which is another word for nar. But the question is, why did he change it? So some explain that because it also means hidden. It's another word.
What's the word for someone who can't hear?
Elaine, right. Could be. So that's all. It could also have a similar... things are hidden from you. Things are hidden from you also if you're unable to... You don't have all your senses. Okay, so that is the sign to know what to do. Whether or not you'll be safe, you can come out of hiding, or maybe not. Pasuk Chav Dal, page 134. Okay, V'yasaser David basada, and David was hiding in the field by Yachodesh, and it was the month, it was Rosh Chodesh. V'yeshev HaMelech El HaLechem Lechol, and the king was sitting by the bread to eat. Some interpret from here that it's... On Shabbos, you're supposed to have a suud. On Yom Tov, you're supposed to have a suud. Have Rosh Chodesh. So we see over here that he ate a meal with bread. Right. So the question is, do you also have to do so? All right. So it certainly is a nice custom to have a suudas Rosh Chodesh, and this is one of the sources for it because he would prepare lechem le'echol. Okay. Pasuk of Hey, Vayeshev Hamelech al Moshavo. Kipam b'pam. So the king was sitting in his place, just like he always did. El Moshe Bakir. And the way he used to sit, he didn't sit in the middle of the room. He sat with his back up against the kir, against the wall. And one of the reasons, maybe because he was a little paranoid, he was always afraid someone was going to kill him. So if your back is against a stone wall, probably no one's going to kill you from the back. And you can look around, you have a good view of what's going on. But Yochum Yohonasan, and Yonasan got up, his son, Vayeshev Avner Mitzad Shaul, and Avner also sat by the king, Biyipakeid Makum David. Biyipakeid, Mesudas Sion translates here as meaning Chisaron. David was missing. He wasn't in his place, right? He was marked absent for the day. Okay. It says, right, missing. It also, but probably the most famous time it's ever mentioned is by Sarah. Hashem pakad at Sarah. It could mean Hashem remembered. So it means because there was some, you remember something because before someone was missing, or was something lacking, you weren't there, so you remember. It's
have a multiplicity of meanings, that word.
Yeah.
Point, isn't it? To appoint somebody?
Yeah, it has different meanings. Because there's so many different meanings.
Yeah. Right. It's.
What does it mean? And what's the significance of a Yochum Yehonasan? He got up, and the other one sat with me sitting. What is the significance of that?
We're going to see. Let's look in Rashi and the Radak and all these other commentators. It's very interesting that the way we sit down for a meal, you sit here, you sit there. But when it came to sitting at a king's table, there was specific seating. There was reservations. Your place card was there. Right? You knew exactly where you were sitting.
David
was part of it. Right.
And the father, no question.
Next, you know, it's everybody.
Right, we're going to see.
Meal I'm talking about, really, basically speaking.
Let's look in Rashi. Rashi's going to explain the significance of this whole seating arrangement, which it seems on the surface a little bit more detail than we really need. So we read Pasuk of Hay, so we're in the Rashi there. The second Rashi, which is Vayakam Yonasan. Yonasan got up. Aman Minkomu, he stood up from his place. Why was he standing? Sit down. Everyone else is having a nice meal. They're eating their sushi and steak. What are you doing standing up? You know, what's going on over here? Lafi, says Rashi, because she'in derech haben lios metzav etzel oven. For a son to be lying down or reclining next to their father? That's such a disrespectful thing. That's how it was. I guess the levels of honoring of adults and parents and whatnot is a little bit more laid back than it used to be. Certainly in those days, a father and a son, they would not recline. A son would not recline next to the father. Shedarkan hoyel echel misubit al hamitos. The way that we eat is not the way they ate. Right? And that's...
They did recline on
beds. They did. They used to eat reclining on beds or some like a couch or something like that.
That was a sign of
right. That's what people did. Certainly in the king's palace, that's how they're going to eat. So what were the seating arrangements? Or what were the lying down arrangements? So Rashi says, "Vayadavin meitzav ben Yonasan uben Shaul." Interesting. Yonasan did not sit right next to dad. Yonasan sat in between... David sat in between the king and Yonasan. Right. Why did he do that? He did that because his son is not allowed to recline right next to the father. So his son, David, is like a machitza, right? He's some type of a separation, a chatzitza between the king and Yonasan. So David, when he came, it was okay. David would sit there, then Yonasan could sit down and enjoy his meal. However, now that David wasn't there, says Rashi, lo heitzav Yonasan. Yonasan was not allowed to recline because he didn't have the guy to block him. Ad sheyashav Avner mitzad Shaul. That's why the pasuk says that Avner came along and sat down next to Shaul. V'yachar kach yashav Yonasan mitzad Avner. Then Yonasan was allowed to sit down next to Avner. So we see that it wasn't just some guy didn't show up to a party. It wasn't just that a guy didn't show up to a meal. But it caused a whole commotion because David had to be there so that Yonasan could then sit down. Instead, Yonasan, the king, the prince, was standing and waiting and waiting. Empty seat, empty seat. Avner steps in, sits down. Now Yonasan. So there's a whole commotion going over here. Radak tells us an unbelievable explanation. Radak tells us a different reason about this whole seating arrangement. Again, we're in Pasuk of Hay. It's the only Radak, but we're going to start off in the middle of the third line where it says V'chein. V'chein matzanu b'divrei rabotenu zichronu mervacha. So we find by our sages of blessed memory, kigam b'yameihem. Also in those days, hayim minhag, that was their custom. Umash yom, to recline. Umash yom, that what it says. V'yakum Yonasan. Why did Yonasan jump out of his seat? As though he was scared of something. Perusho explains the Radak. If he was already sitting next to his father, come, he got up. The Hoshiv Avner Mitzad Aviv. And he said, Avner, why don't you do me a favor? I don't want to sit next to my dad. Why don't you sit next to him? And I'll sit next to you. Why didn't he want to sit next to his dear old dad? Says the Radak, Ki lo ratzu liyo samach aviv. He didn't want him to be next to his dad. Sheim yiksof alav al devar David. Because once he finds out that David's not there, He's going to get so angry, he's going to be furious. So when a person is really angry and they lose their temper, they're out of control. Now what's going to make me happy? What happened? Maybe he'll end up hitting me. He might end up hitting me, Yonasan. I don't want to be there when he starts throwing punches. So instead, out there, I'm going to give you a great honor. Why don't you sit right here, okay? Wow, what a great honor. Right, yeah, absolutely. But that's how the Radaka interprets this this pasuk. But right, whichever way you look at it, you see that there's a lot of tension over here at this meal. And there's a potential drama that's going to unfold by David's seat being the parkade, missing, empty. Pasuk Chavav. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Chavav tells us, V'lo diber shalom uma. Everyone was staring at Shalom, waiting for the king to start screaming and punching. Who knows what he's going to do? For some reason, Shaul did not say a sound. Nothing. B'yomahu on that day. Why didn't he speak? After all, David didn't show up. What a chutzpah, what disrespect. Ki amar mikrahu bilti tarahu ki lo tar. Perhaps something may have happened for him to not, that he is not pure, because perhaps he's not pure. It's perhaps lo tahor. Maybe he's just impure. Because David. Maybe David is right now impure. And it says, Rashi explains in this pasuk Chavav, V'adayin lo tovel l'kiryav. Maybe he just did not yet toivel, immerse himself in a mikvah. Right? And if you jump to the next Rashi, Kilo Tahar, Zuhi Nesinas Tamu Davar. Maybe that was the reason why Shaul rationalized his mind that David didn't come. Lafi She'enu Tahar. He wasn't pure. Lafi Kachloba. He didn't come. Shaul Yitma Et Hasuda. To not make my meal impure. So it shows you that Shaul was such a great person, he was still a tremendous man, that he was meticulous to eat all of his meals with only the highest level of tahara, a purity. And David, knowing this, would not maybe have not come. That's a why.
Does that indicate then that Yonatan never told Shaul why David was missing? What they decided, you know, that there was a special event in the family and they went? He didn't tell them that at this point?
Well, right, he did not tell him. We're going to see that next day he's going to say, where is he? And he's going to tell him that line. He's going to feed him that line. But right now,
since he didn't ask, Don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly. Another amazing trait that the Mefarshim point out is Shaul. Everyone paints a terrible picture about this guy, okay? And this is a guy that wants to kill David. Nonetheless, we find he has done l'kaf schus, how much he judges favorably. He was supposed to attend my meal, and it's a tremendous chutzpah for him to not to come. But the first day, he says absolutely nothing because he said, you know what, maybe, there's a good chance he probably just didn't go to the mikveh yet. Making up an excuse, rationalizing why he didn't come in a positive way. Such a great way to be done the kashchus. So we find that Shaul, you know, it's easy in life. You have black and white, but it's not like that. Shaul was not a Russia. He had his flaws, but we see also tremendous qualities. Another tremendous quality that Talmud and Pesachim points out is that the Torah is always very precise. We don't like adding words. We don't even add extra letters. So if you would look at the language that Shaul chose, he could have, instead of saying kilo tahor, he was not pure, he could have said tameh, right? Which is only three letters, shorter, and to the point. So we learn out from here, the Talmud says, that whenever a person speaks, you should always speak b'lashon naki, in a very clean language. Even though, of course, it doesn't mean you're supposed to say profanity, of course not. But it means even times when you have to say things which have a negative connotation, better to give it a different spin, say a little more, so that it comes out in a more clean, nicer way. And we learned that out, among other places. We also learned that out from Noah, when he brought in the animals. But over here also, it says, Kilo Tahor. So again, we see some positive qualities about this man, about the king Shaul. Pasuk Chavzayin. Vayihi mimacharis hachodesh, the next day comes, Chodesh Hasheni, the second day. V'pakeid Makom David. We already had that word. V'pakeid Makom David. David's place was empty. He's not there. So how many more excuses are you going to make for this guy? He wasn't there day one. All right, I didn't say anything. But now Shaul is beginning to wonder, and now Shaul is going to ask the question. V'yomer Shaul Yonas, and he asks his son, Madua loba ben Yishai gam timol gam hayom el halacha. Why didn't Ben Yishai, doesn't even call the guy by his first name. This is David, good guy. He calls him Ben Yishai, some explain, because he himself, he has no zechutim based on himself. He has no real merits. He only has chosavos, his parents. He's related to Yishai. Okay, that all I can't take away from him. Where is this Ben Yishai character? He didn't come today, and he wasn't there yesterday. Where is he? If you look also on page 135, it says this, pretty clearly on the right column. It says, although David not only wasn't just that he was a great guy, we have to forget he was married to Michal, his daughter, right? David was his son-in-law. Saul was still didn't even want to call him by his name, right? So possibly the other idea is sometimes you hate someone so much you can't even say their name. I don't even want to say your name. I just gets me so angry. That's how Shaul felt about this guy by the name of Ben Yishai. I don't even want to mention his name, David.
He also demeaned David. It demeans him, it made him someone whose name wasn't worthy of being mentioned.
Right.
But also it says Yonasan Beno. Why does it have to say it's his son? No, it's his son.
Right.
So maybe there's a contrast between that too, that you are my son and he's the son of this other man whose name is whatever.
Oh, very good. Right. That's, he may be saying that this is you're my son, you're the king's son, you should be the next king, this guy's a nobody, or he is certainly comparing him, you are my son, and that is that's for sure. Which could also be saying the idea of he's Ben Yishai, he doesn't deserve to be the king, because he's not related to me. You're related to me. You should be the king. Okay. We're actually going to see that as well. Okay.
Or he could also be saying something. You are my son. You owe me loyalty.
Right.
There is the next interpretation.
Right. Very good.
Next page.
Yeah, he's going to really hit that and say that you should be showing more respect to me than to David. That's exactly, we're going to be seeing that. Okay, we're going to see the next two psukim. We'll get to Pasuk Lamed. Vayan Yonasan as Shaul. So Yonasan, what could he possibly say to his father? Nishal David me'imadi ad beis lachem. I want to let you know that he did ask me, David did request from me this question. He wanted to approach me and he asked me my permission to leave. Vayomer, and he said, Shalcheni na ki zevach mishpachalanu. Please let me go. I have sacrifices. I have this whole party. I have a barbecue that I'm bringing out for my family. But here in their city, Fusivali Achi, and my older brother commanded me to do this. Right? This is David. Yonasan speaking on behalf of David. David said to Yonasan that my older brother is telling me you better come to this, our anniversary party, our parents' party, or whatever it may be. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to listen to my older brother? Of course David's going to listen to his older brother. So do me a favor, let me go. And now, says Yonasan to his father, if you find favor in your eyes, the era es achi. Imalta means run. But it here means let me go and listen and see my brother. And that's the reason why, that is the only reason why he did not come to your table. That's the only reason why he didn't come.
So what's the double reason for Nishal? Emphasizing that? Yan Yan San Shal, Nishal David.
Right. It could, maybe it means like he kept asking over and over, like begging. I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing that, but maybe when it says it twice, it means that he just kept, it wasn't like he asked, and, but he kept asking over and over and over.
Well, here's
maybe.
Something down here at the dock.
The dock says?
Doesn't say much.
All right.
Of course, so
right. Right. So if we look,
I think it's just a stronger way. Of
could be. Yeah, it could be. Right. So he was asking permission. He was asking Yonasan permission if he can go. So we look over. Let's start off with the Radak. Those are the psukim we're going to see. We have a couple of mafarshim to look at. Me'imadi, the second to last line in the Radak. Kolomer, that's the same. In many lokach reshus, he didn't ask permission from you, the king, of course, because you didn't know where he was. He asked me permission. Belachtach lebeis lachem, to go to beis lachem. V'loholach b'lo reshus. You should know he did not go without permission. He certainly did ask permission, 100%. Okay, I gave him permission to go. We look in the Rashi over here. Pasuk Chavtes, v'hu siva li'achi. What does it mean, my brother? Gadol habayis, the oldest brother, who we'll see who's the oldest brother, which we had mentioned before. Sivali Shieh Hesham. David's older brother told him that he should come. Vu'achi Eliav. Eliav was the brother, and he was the one that told David to please come. And some actually interpret from this, who cares, it's an older brother. It's because he's coming to show that obviously, if you really think he's a king, he's going to be the next king. Who is he going to be listening to? Who does a king listen to? Nobody. He's the boss. Not only does David not think he's going to be a king, but he's even willing to listen to the commandments of his own brother. If his brother tells him to do something, he's going to do it. So therefore, that's the significance of why it says the older brother. Okay. If we look, and we'll conclude with the words in the Sudas David, and we'll stop, which is the fourth last line. The era as achi, I'm going to go and see my brother, besimchas hazevach, to rejoice over this celebration. Alkein lova, and therefore he did not come. Kinesati lo reshus leches b'holachlo. I allowed David to not show up to this party, and therefore I said, you can't go. So, Father, you probably should not get angry, because the reason why David did not come, he did not choose this on his own, but rather I gave him permission not to go, and we'll see next week what the Father's reaction will be. Stop.